Tom's absent. I don't know who told you what songs to choose this morning, but they were spot on for what we're going to talk about today. And if you open your Bibles to Psalm 77, we're going to read it. It's just one of those amazing psalms which speaks to people at times like this. I know it was here when I was doing the preparation. Still here. Psalm 77, you notice that it's for the director of music, for Jeduthun, it's of Asaph, and it's a psalm. I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and I would not be comforted. I remembered you, God, and I groaned. I meditated, and my spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. I remembered my songs in the night. My heart meditated and my spirit asked, will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? Then I thought, to this I will appeal, the years when the Most High stretched out his right hand. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles long ago. I will consider your works and meditate on your mighty deeds. Your ways, God, are holy. What God is as great as our God? You are the God that performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. With your mighty arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. The waters saw you, O God. The waters saw you and writhed. The very depths were convulsed. The clouds poured down water. The heavens resounded with thunder. Your arrows flashed back and forth. Your thunder was heard in the whirlwind. Your lightning lit up the sky. The earth trembled and quaked. Your path led through the sea. Your way through the mighty waters. Though your footsteps were not seen, you led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Heavenly Father, we just pray that you would help us understand what you are saying. Help us see how relevant this is to us in general, Lord, but at this time in particular. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We all face those times when we look around us and all we see are storm clouds. It might be a news broadcast that we have just heard. It might be the diagnosis from a doctor. It might be a relationship that we see breaking down, but we just seem powerless to address it. It might be something to do with work, insecurity in our job. It might be bereavement. We look to the skies and all we see are dark clouds. These are the times when God seems absent, times which are inevitably part of our lives. Let's get this out of the way. Bad things do happen to Christians. Nowhere does God guarantee our safety. He guarantees our eternal security, but not our safety. You see, we still live in a broken world. Bad things happen to us, just as they happened to our spiritual forefathers. And our question is, how did our spiritual forefathers cope when bad things happened to them? Well, Asaph, who wrote the psalm, is an example of one of those. He lived as close to God as anyone. He wrote many psalms, wonderfully encouraging psalms, and yet Asaph was struggling. We are not told what his struggle was, but what he struggled with wasn't important. It's what he did in the context of his struggle that we are interested in. And what Asaph did was to pray his situation. He prayed his situation. And Psalm 77 is a record of this prayer of Asaph. And it's a prayer that many have found useful when they have faced hard times, when they have faced times when God seems absent. Now, the way the psalm starts is an indication of just how desperate Asaph was feeling. It starts like this: I yell out to my God. I yell out with all my might. I yell at the top of my lungs. It's authentic, isn't it? Our Father wants authentic. Our Father is not interested in proper English and holy thoughts. He wants authentic. You see, He knows just how we are feeling anyway. And so like Asaph did, we can tell God exactly how we feel. I sought the Lord at night. I stretched out untiring arms. I would not be comforted. Of course, Jesus went through this as well. Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to Him who was able to save Him from death. We are talking about a painful and a protracted experience. It was for Jesus. It was for Asaph. And it can be for us too. And Asaph continues. He says, I remembered you, O God, and I groaned. I mean, remembering God ought to bring comfort and joy, but it didn't happen like that with Asaph. Remembering God brought Asaph a reminder of the absence of God, not God's goodness. I mused, and my spirit grew faint. I'm awake all night, not a wink of sleep. I can't even say what's bothering me. And so Asaph continues musing. I think about the good old days, long since ended, when my nights were filled with joyful songs. I search my soul and think about the difference now. It's how it used to be. Not like that anymore, not for Asaph. And so Asaph reaches the point where he starts questioning God, and so should we. The trouble is, especially for us older Christians, we feel so uncomfortable questioning God. I mean, we've been taught that He's God and it's disrespectful. We don't question God. We've been taught that to question God shows a lack of faith. That's what we've been taught. And so maybe we've never really questioned God out loud, but that doesn't mean that in our deepest thoughts we haven't thought some of these things. Things like, will the Lord walk off and leave me for good? Will He never smile again? Asaph is incredulous. It seems as though God has done the unthinkable. It seems as though God has walked off and left him. And he's not afraid to say so. He has another uninvited thought. Has His unfailing love vanished forever? Unfailing love? By definition, a love that never fails? Has that which can by definition never failed, has it failed? Has it vanished? Asaph asks a question because it feels like that to him. Has His promise failed for all times? What is a promise? A promise is a guaranteed pledge. Has a guaranteed pledge made by God, has it failed? It seemed like that for Asaph. Has God forgotten to be merciful? Sounds ridiculous, yet Asaph asks it. Have you, God, who will never forget, have you forgotten me? Has He, in anger, withheld compassion? Oh dear, he makes two mistakes there. The first mistake is, I'm going through this because I've done something and God is angry with me. You have felt like that? Like God was angry with you? It's a mistake to think that. The second mistake, that God is incapable of withholding compassion from His children. No, no, no. 1,000 times no. But here we see the value of questioning. Because as we ask the questions, we may actually find the answer. To ask God if He is angry and withholding compassion is to hear the answer. Never. To ask God if He has forgotten to be merciful is to hear the answer. Never. To ask God if His promises have failed is to hear the answer. Never. To ask if His unfailing love has vanished for all time is to hear the answer. Never. But without the questioning, we may not get to the answer. How long did it take Asaph to reach that place? We don't know, but I can tell you it wasn't overnight. yet mercifully he did reach that place. And so his spiritual journey can continue. And we come to verse 10, and verse 10 reflects a change. Then I thought, to this I will appeal, the years of the right hand of the Most High. That's not an easy verse, but let me just give you the sense of what Asaph is saying there. He's saying, I am now ready to consider again what I know to be true about God from the past. I'm now ready. I've now reached the place where I'm able to consider again what I know to be true about God from the past. It didn't happen overnight. But eventually Asaph was ready to start looking at things again. And he does. Once again, I'll go over what God has done. Lay out on the table the ancient wonders. I'll ponder all the things you've accomplished and consider your acts. Look at the contrast. Verse 3, I remembered you, God, and I groaned. I meditated and my spirit grew faint. Asaph is back to remembering God. But now he's able to remember the events more objectively. And so this time, as he remembers, Asaph realizes, your ways, O God, are holy. What God is so great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. With your mighty arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph, like all Hebrew people would. Asaph is remembering the Exodus. He's remembering that historical event when God saved his people from slavery. Yes, he is using the language of a poet, but there is no doubt that he is remembering the Exodus. The waters saw you, O God. The waters saw you and writhed. The very depth convulsed. The clouds poured down water. Skies resounded with thunder. Your arrows flashed back and forth. Your thunder was heard in the whirlwind. Your lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled. Your path led through the sea. Your way through the mighty waters. Asaph reviews his salvation history using poetic language. The historical background to what Asaph is saying is God's people in slavery, God bringing them out of slavery. And I must surmise that to those going through the Exodus, to those who were there, it must have seemed as though nature was out of control. I mean, there were the plagues of the flies and the frogs and the river Nile turning to blood and the hail and the boils and the locusts and darkness coming over the land. It looked and felt like chaos, like nature out of control. But in fact, it wasn't nature out of control, was it? It was nature under God's control, even though it wasn't obvious. God was controlling nature to bring about the miracle of the Hebrew people walking through the Red Sea on dry land with huge walls of water heaped up, kept there by the one who is sovereign over nature. Those original prayers of the psalm, like Asaph, they would have understood the poetry because they understood the background. And as they remembered the Exodus, they could now see what may not have been obvious at the time, that your path led through the sea, your way through the mighty waters. They could now see that in all the chaos, which they couldn't understand, God was actually at work. God was at work delivering his people in the midst of that chaos when God had actually seemed absent. Yet God was delivering in the chaos, his people from slavery. Your path led through the sea, your way through the mighty waters, though your footprints were not seen. They couldn't actually see it at the time, but that's what God was doing. What can we learn from the prayer of Asaph when we go through dark times? What can we learn about from this prayer about those times when God seems absent? What can we learn from this about those times when things don't make sense in our lives? What can we learn when all we see around us is apparent chaos of things seemingly out of control? We can learn this. We can learn that our God is sovereign over nature. Indeed, he is sovereign over all things and is at work, though his footsteps may not be seen from where we sit. We can learn he is sovereign, though his footsteps are not seen. 2100 years ago, chaos reigned. Humanity was out of control, shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" An innocent man. Humanity out of control. Nature was out of control. There were earthquakes. And the sky went black as night, even though it was midday. The footprints of God were not seen. God seemed absent. Jesus cried, "Father, take this cup away." But the Father didn't. Next, Jesus cried, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Because it seemed like it. And finally, Jesus cried, "It is finished." And yet all the while, the Father was doing his greatest work, though his footprints were not seen. Can we remember this? When inevitably we face such times. Maybe we are going through a time like this right now in our own lives. Will you try and remember this and allow it to encourage you right now? God is at work, though his footprints are not seen. Can we as a church remember this today as we face the particular challenges we face? Can we remember this? God is at work, though his footprints are not seen. Shall we pray together? Heavenly Father, you know what you are about, and Lord, because you know ultimately what is best in terms of your kingdom and what is best in terms of our lives, Lord, you are willing to push through even though we cannot see your footprints. But Lord, what we want to learn from today is that even though your footprints may not be seen by us right now, that we will not stop trusting you, because your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on us. Help us to remember as we face the challenges which are common to us living in a broken world as we do. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.